Jesus, we pray again that we would know you and see you as the Good Shepherd. Lord, we ask that as we open your word, that you would illuminate it for us. Lord, that we would see you in a new way this morning, that you would meet with us, and that we again would know your goodness as our Savior and our Lord. And we ask that by way of your Holy Spirit, as we read in 1 John, that we would be righteous, Lord, that you would make us righteous as you are righteous. And as you do this, we will give you thanks. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody. Well, maybe you have heard it said before that it's not a matter of whether we choose to be led. The question is, who is leading you? We are all looking for and to someone to help give us a vision for our lives, to show us a path to walk in, even if we aim or make it our aim to walk in the path of self-determination. If we are of the cantankerous stripe or have even anarchist ambitions, in the literal sense, anarchist means without ruler, so I mean it in that sense. Someone else suggested that, probably, to us. This is the way that you should go to maximize your own well-being. But again, if we think that we live solely under self-rule, that's a bit naive. Despite all of this, I think we have a serious problem on our hands. It seems that good leaders are hard to come by. If I ask you if you've ever been hurt, let down, or disappointed by someone whom you would call a leader, I would imagine, I'm not asking you to do this, that almost all of our hands would go up. Because we have experienced hurt to varying degrees, and obviously some more than others. I've sat across from a lot of people who have been wounded or neglected, or even abused by those that should have cared for them, and ought to have used their authority so that they could experience a sense of goodness, protection, and flourishing. Instead, many have experienced emotional and moral injury, maybe even physical injury, spiritual injury, and everything in between, if not all of the above, from a leader. We experience this hurt because we enter into relationships with a need. And the need is to be vulnerable. And so I ask us this morning, can we truly be known without being vulnerable? Can we be led, really led, without being vulnerable? Or can we really be loved without being vulnerable? Sometimes, or maybe often, due to our past pain, we are reluctant to be vulnerable, and this is certainly understandable. And the bad news is vulnerable is derived from a Latin noun that means what? It means wound, and the Latin verb to wound. To be vulnerable, then, by definition, is to be susceptible. One thing you might say that I refuse to be. How about authentic? Can I be authentic instead? Meaning genuine. Authentic, etymologically, means acting on one's own authority, actually. So let's go with being authentic, not vulnerable, please. And I can personally attest, I have experienced disappointment at the hands of leaders. Wanting guidance, desiring recognition, and not getting it. And as a result, I confess to you all, harboring anger and unforgiveness. And this was my own sin. Making a justification that if a leader didn't use their authority in the way that I wanted, it justified me holding them in a place of contempt. My particular situation was not abusive, it was disappointing. And at the time, I was immature. But you don't have to worry any longer because I'm no longer immature. Thank you for laughing. In addition, and worse, I certainly have been under leaders who were exploitive and who were abusive and coercive, etc. And these actions are detestable and to be condemned. So maybe you have run the gamut of experiences under different leaders. And I ask, what do we do with this? Do we throw all leaders out with the bad leader bathwater? Do we never trust authority again? In current culture and the cult of individualism, many of us look to gain success, and this is not a bad thing in of itself. However, under the desire to make more money, gain more credentials, and attain more authority, my hope and dream is, quote, being my own boss. It's really a movement to attempt to insulate ourselves from having to be vulnerable. A desire to retreat into safety. Andy Crouch has a little book called Strong and Weak. And in that book, he writes this. If there's one temptation that seems to me endemic to the emerging generation of young adults, it is to choose withdrawing, to retreat from authority and vulnerability alike. He also writes, we have to begin in safety in order to flourish, but to cling to it in adulthood, he writes, is folly. Sometimes because, as I've already mentioned, we haven't experienced a safe space, especially in early life, the time when we're most vulnerable, it has made all of this more difficult now. And conversely, sometimes because our parents have insulated us longer than they should have, we have come to a place of risk-averse entitlement. And, as one article put it, quote, we tend to err not on the side of caution, but on the side of inaction. Madeline Lingle writes, when we were children, we used to think that when we grew up, we would no longer be vulnerable. But to grow up is to accept vulnerability. So I ask us again, so what about bad leaders? Those who would mishandle our vulnerabilities and who would victimize and take advantage of people. Well, God himself has something to say about bad leadership. And I would invite you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. First, as we look at this passage, it's important to note that throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bible, those that lead are called what? They're called shepherds. A couple examples of this we see in Psalm 78, this is verses 70 and 71. David is described as a shepherd. In Isaiah 63:11, Moses is described as a shepherd. We all read from Psalm 23, where God is described as a shepherd. One additional example is Micah 5:4, speaks of the one who would come from Bethlehem, who will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. Do you want to try and guess who that is? So here in our text, the bad leaders are characterized and described as shepherds. Again, our reading is chapter 34, verses 1 through 10. So what is God's issue with these leaders? What is God's indictment? Well, let me give you a summary. They're not feeding or providing for them. They're not clothing or protecting them. They have left them vulnerable to intruders or wild beasts. They have not mended, they have not tended, nurtured, or guided. They have not gathered, they have scattered. These shepherds are most committed to their own self-interests. They made themselves fat, causing again the sheep to be scattered, exposed, and unprotected. As Max Dupree has written, bad leaders inflict pain. Good leaders bear it. And we certainly see this in our Good Shepherd. God's critique, he critiques them, and he says that they are under judgment. In verse 10, he personally is against them. Then in verse 11, and I do want to look at more of the chapter than just verses 1 through 10, so this is outside of our reading, but God says, I will do it. I will shepherd my people. What is lacking, I will do. Those terrible things that have been done, I will undo. And here is a little summary of the following verses in my own words. My sheep, I will search and seek and rescue. I myself will make them safe and secure. They will lie down. I will tend, mend, and heal, strengthen, restore, and rehabilitate. I will feed, protect, and see to it that my justice prevails. They need not fear. The same voice that has made worlds has also spoken this into being. I am the Lord. And briefly, verse 11, he is the God, the King who seeks and gathers. Verse 14, he is the God, the shepherd who will feed them. 14 again, who will have them lie down. Verse 16, God will bind up or bring healing. He is the shepherd who will strengthen. This is verse 16. He is the shepherd who will bring them home or back to Israel. And verse 20, he is the shepherd who will judge justly. We might ask, how will God carry this out? How will he do this? Well, he tells us in verse 23, he will do this in and through a new Davidic kingship that would characterize restoration. His means would be his Davidic Messiah. And so now we turn to John chapter 10. And here's my question for us this morning that I think encapsulates our readings. If I can distill it perhaps to just one question. And so, question for you and all of us, but I believe the question is this: will you allow Jesus to lead you? Will you allow Jesus to lead you? You might say, sure. As long as what he says and his leading is in accordance with what I want to do. If Jesus only ever asks you to do what you want to do, that is not Jesus. That is an idol or false god called, insert your name here. Will you allow Jesus to lead you? Will you allow him to guide you and guard you? This is what shepherds do. Give you open spaces where you are nourished on him. That is another G word, graze. And will you continually let him gift you with his good presence? John 10, as Deacon Josh read, it says, I am the good shepherd. What is Jesus saying here? Well, we just read Ezekiel 34 that God would do this. Jesus is saying, I am God. And I am here to carry out what God himself said that he would do. I am the good shepherd. And hear these words this morning. I love you, and I died for you. Or here, I will lay down my life for the sheep. I won't leave you like a hired hand because you belong to me. I own you. I am the one who protects you and who will procure your redemption and restoration. Verse 14, again, I know you. I lay down my life for you. There is no greater love, Jesus would say elsewhere. I am more committed to you than you are committed to yourself. Do you believe that? All the things, Church of the Good Shepherd, from Ezekiel 34, apply to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. How so? Let me give a quick rundown. Jesus is the King who seeks and gathers. Luke 19, for the Son of Man came to what? Seek and save the lost. Jesus is the King Shepherd who feeds us. Jesus said to them what? This is in John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is the King Shepherd who binds up and brings healing. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, he himself bore our sins where? In his body, on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. And Jesus is the King who will strengthen. Paul tells us in Romans 16, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Jesus is our strength. We read, I will feed them with justice. Jesus, the shepherd, is the one who will bring us home. In my Father's house, we're told in John 14, there are many rooms. If this were not so, Jesus said, what I have told you, that I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Or, and I love this verse, don't play favorites, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him. And what will they do? John 14, we will make our home with him. And lastly, Jesus is the King who will judge justly. We read this in Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. and he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. We see Jesus coming in glory to sit on his throne as judge and conquering king. Jesus is the good, just judge. He is all of these things. And this shepherd, king, stewards our vulnerability better than anyone. How can he do this? It's because he knows us. He's made us. As I've already said and we've read, he lays down his life for us. And this Jesus, this is good news, will do this throughout all of eternity. I really don't do this as far as the favorite verse thing, but contradicting myself, I think this is one of my favorite verses, Revelation 7:15 through 17, so more than one. And it reads this: he who sits on the throne will shelter them with what? With his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. Why? For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their what? Shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, every tear of hurt from every bad leader, every broken relationship, from every sorrow and shame that we have experienced. He will wipe those tears personally. This good shepherd will do that. And so I ask you one last time, will you let him lead you? On our 12th anniversary here at Church of the Good Shepherd, I invite you, in addition to this and in this, to give him your life, to bring him your wounds, your vulnerability, and allow him to place you around his neck, where you are in his protective, tender, and strong embrace. Be with him. Be his disciple. Because this good shepherd, more than anyone else, loves you. Amen.